This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last week, Chris and I discussed Google I/O and Microsoft Build. This week, we're going to be talking about our year-end procedures and what types of projects we have in store for this summer. If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show. Well, that's it. We're done with Star Test.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, it was a miserable week. We had trouble with it just about every day for us. I mean, it seemed like something was wrong with it. But we finally got through it.
You know, and the thing is, none of the trouble was actually our fault. It was nothing that we had any control over or could fix.
You know, I've been dealing with that issue that we've talked on and off about my Wi-Fi disconnecting on my Chromebooks just randomly in the middle of the test. I am not 100% convinced that it's my fault.
I don't think it was your Wi-Fi that was disconnecting. I think it was ETS losing connectivity, and so the app was like, oh, something's wrong with your network.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what it's got to be, because it didn't, I mean, it happened a little bit Monday. I had some problems Monday, and then Tuesday was an utter disaster, like usual, and then Wednesday went perfect.
Yeah, absolutely once perfect. We were on the science and social studies, it seems like the burden was off of ETS, and they can actually stay up.
Yeah, but then today we had some makeup tests, and I had like one student disconnect, I think. But I don't know, man. I turned off 2.4 gigahertz where you get all the interference, and so all those Chromebooks are run on 5.0 gigahertz, and there's not really a whole lot of interference in that spectrum, and so I just don't think it's me. I just don't know.
No, it's not you. I mean, there's no way it's you. I mean, let's look at the scenario. The entire state started having problems. And for those that don't know, the test was actually down for an hour and 14 minutes after it already started. Can you imagine being an elementary student and having to take an hour and 14 minute break in the middle of that thing?
Here's my thing. It was hard to get them to refocus. I mean, we use online testing not for everybody, but for the students that need like the extra help. Mm-hmm. Like the text-to-speech and things like that. And so a lot of times those kids already have difficulties when it comes to attention stuff. And so it's just not good for them. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, I can't even imagine what it would have been like. I mean, we had this one student. He was literally in tears, I mean, going into the test. But luckily, he actually finished before the outage happened. And so I just could not imagine being that kid going through that outage. I mean, it would have just tore him up.
Well, and it doesn't help that when they start having problems like this, TEA shuts off their phone system.
Yeah, they say their phones are out. No, they just turn them off.
Well, no, because you get the message of please call back during business hours. No, you flip the nighttime setting. But
it's ridiculous.
I really don't see ETS getting a contract renewal. I see Pearson picking it back up because the Pearson contract never actually expired because they kept it for Telpass and Star Alt 2. So there's not really anything they have to renegotiate for. They just have to turn those tests back in with them.
Yeah, or just pay them what Pearson wants to host them.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened. I think Pearson wanted more money to do the Star test than what Texas wanted to pay. And so I think that they just need to pay it.
Well, and yes, Pearson's an evil company that we all love to hate, but at least they can keep a system up, and they let me cash the darn test.
Yes, I mean, and we've talked about it before, that ETS will let you cash if you're still running on, like, DSL.
And have, like, 5,000 students.
Yeah, but, I mean, that would solve probably 90% of their problems if you just reached out to ETS for, like, authentication and to tell the caching server what test to hand the student, and then just everything happened locally.
Yep, and It would free up their budgets quite a bit, too, because they wouldn't have to have all this extra server infrastructure.
Yeah, and we wouldn't have to worry about some idiot randomly rebooting a database server in the middle of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
It's over for this year. I mean, the only thing we got left, I guess, is retakes during the summer.
Yeah, but that's a no biggie. I mean, there's not a whole lot of those, but,
yeah,
man,
so
this has been a
hopefully
week.
The system stays up. Yeah, I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, it's that time of year where it's like you're kind of on autopilot, just sort of waiting for the year to end, as you just watch your summer stuff just pile up, and it's like it breaks your heart.
Yes, and in fact, yesterday I got 40 telephones delivered to my office for classrooms for one of my buildings, and I'll get another 40 in a couple more days
for the other. Well, that's good.
For the other
building.
That'll
be fun.
It'll be fun. That will be fun. I'll enjoy doing that.
So, yeah, I've got a stack of desktops, and then I just think about all the buildings that I have to empty out. So, I mean, that's just...
Oh,
that's what I think about.
You gotta play shuffle around.
Yeah, but that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about sort of the year-end procedures, since it's that time of year, of things that we do or we have our staff do. And then we're just going to kind of talk about some of our summer projects that we have going on. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about Audible. Once again, Audible is sponsoring our show tonight, and you can go to audibletrial.com/educatingtech and get a free get a 30-day free trial that comes with a free audiobook of your choice from their catalog of extensive titles. And if you choose to cancel it, that book is yours to keep, so that's really kind of cool. So, Chris, what's your crazy book pick this week of what we should offer our listeners to listen to?
Well, I'm actually not doing a crazy person book this week. Shock. I'm doing a fun sci-fi book, and a really old sci-fi book. So you may have read it, you may have not, if you're young enough to not know who these people are. But I'm picking The Mote in God's Eye by Larry Niven and Jerry Pournelle. They're actually authors of another book that I've already picked, Lucifer's Hammer. But this one is a completely different type of story. This one's sci-fi with spaceships and other galaxies and alien creatures. And it's actually just a lot of fun. I mean, it's a typical 1970s misogynistic book, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm really into sci-fi right now. I mean, obviously, with my pick of Artemis by Andy Weir, it's his new book. He's the guy that wrote The Martian that became that cool movie with Matt Damon. And I remember there was that meme going around with talks about how much the U.S. government has spent rescuing Matt Damon from all the different things that he's been in. But Andy Weir followed up The Martian with Artemis, and it's a pretty good story. It's about living on the moon. So, I mean, it's just really neat here's perspective. The only thing that sometimes the dialogue and stuff is kind of cringeworthy, because sometimes it's hard for a man to write a woman main character. And so he'll say things that men would think is funny, but sometimes it just comes out cringeworthy. Whenever you listen to Rosario Dawson say it, it just sounds kind of weird. And so, but it's a pretty good story. I'd give it a shot. But you can get either of these titles or any other title from their library for free with a 30-day free trial. Just visit audibletrial.com/educatingtech and get started today with your free trial and free audiobook. Our thanks to Audible for sponsoring our show.
Yes, so, thank you so much, Audible. And I'm actually going to have to pick that book up you recommended, because I totally loved The Martian. I mean, that was just
an awesome
story. The Martian was really
great. Artemis is good, too. It's a fun read. And the Rosario Dawson is like, she's in those Netflix shows, and she's just really good. And so she's real... Her voice acting on the book is really good. And so, yeah, pick
Very
that up.
Cool.
Definitely good. So, year-end procedures. What sort of things do you do every year at this time of year?
Well, I'm going to start one is what I have our staff do, because it's important to how we kind of operate in our school. We actually have all the staff do an inventory for their equipment that they had issued out at the beginning of the year, and to kind of validate that they actually have the equipment, we give them a list of the equipment that we had them have, but we leave our inventory tag numbers blank on that list, and they have to fill in those numbers, so we actually get verification that they have it. Now, we have the original sheets that have the numbers, but it's our checks and balances to make sure that everything is actually where it says it is, because, well, they're not going to make up the right number.
I got you. So do you, when you deploy machines, do you deploy a machine to a room or to a person?
To a room.
Same here.
Yeah, because people move around way too much, and it's really hard to plan for obsolescence on people. It's easy to do positions.
Yeah. And like, just, and if a teacher moves a classroom, it's like, just grab your stuff and leave everything that plugs into the wall on the desk.
Yeah, but I need my... You save your stuff in your home directory, your Google Drive, and just log in to the other one, and that one will become yours.
Yep, and so, I mean, That's essentially what we do too, and it also helps with like naming machines, so that you know that you name a machine for a room number, and so you know if the person doesn't take it, whoever's there next, you know that's going to be the same machine if you're not moving it around.
Yeah, and we do a similar thing for computer names, and I honestly can't take credit for it. It was actually started by the previous before that technology director there out in Buena. And they would do campus dash room number dash. They would put the first letter would be like the vendor name. So if it was a Dell, it started with a D. If it's an HP, it was HP, so on and so forth. Then the inventory tag number, and then a D for desktop, L for laptop. And it works out really well. So you know exactly what you're looking at before you even do anything.
Yeah, I'm thinking about actually changing up my naming scheme. Normally it's just like if it was like room 100 in the high school, it's HS 100 WS 01 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so for workstation 1, and so I'm thinking about this next whenever we replace teacher machines, I'm thinking about naming them with the room number and then putting either like the inventory tag or with the year it was purchased somehow in the name.
Now, I do utilize the description feature there in Active Directory. So I'll put like a description of what it is, like so-and-so room student computer or so-and-so room teacher machine and those kind of things. So if you're browsing through Active Directory, you'll get all that extra information.
Yeah, that's where we actually put like the name of the teacher in that. And so that when I'm firing up Dameware and I just expand the list, I can look for the teacher name as opposed to the machine name.
Yes, exactly. And that's probably the sole reason we do it is for Dameware.
Even though on our help desk tickets, they're supposed to put the room number that the machine is in, but sometimes they just put like gym. Well, there's three machines in the gym, so I mean, I have to know which one.
And I really wonder how this works. You know, Eduphoria makes me fill out the entire thing to close the ticket, but I'll be danged if they have to fill anything out to open it.
There's some things that you can set for required, but I mean, it's just weird. But it doesn't give you that thing that's like in Excel where you have like data validation. And so it's like, it'd be really cool if you could like just import like a drop down of all of your room numbers and just make them pick.
Okay. So hopefully we have 100 listeners. I hope so. Because Eduphoria has a thing where 100 people have to request a feature in a single month before they implement it.
I think this is like the third time that you've brought this up.
I know, but I'm this is how often I try. Eduphoria, we need an API for inventory and facilities and all of that stuff.
support@eduphoria.net.
Yes. We need an API. 100 people is all it requires.
Can't you just like script that with like some random
100
email
different
generator?
100 different customers.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
That's just pretty much everybody.
We got two here. So we only need 98. Come on.
Yeah, Chris, I'll send in a request, but Chris needs an API so he can build me a tool.
Yes, I just want inventory to update automatically.
I just want something else for inventory. That's really what I want.
You're right. Honestly, the only reason I use Eduphoria is because we pay for it. I don't like anything about it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and it's almost like we have to use it because of like the aware stuff or this. That's like the best way to see the student data. It's coming from like test scores or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, you either have to use aware or you have to use. Oh wow, what was the name of that other one? The one that we used to have to work on the horrible scanners for.
Oh yeah. That's still in Eduphoria though. DMACC.
DMACC. Yep.
DMACC.
You have to use aware or DMACC. Those are the only two.
We actually use them both.
Why would you put yourself through that?
I have no idea. I don't know. It's like they do the exact same thing. Why are we using both of them?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's not me. It's somebody else. So I just have to install the scanner all the time.
Well, I will give props to Eduphoria. They at least have a bunch of scanners that work now.
Yeah, that's true.
Not like the two that when it started and the one on DMACC.
Yeah. Well, we just got a new one from DMACC, so.
It probably weighs about 75 pounds.
Oh, it's huge, dude. It's massive. It's like a big old brother one. That's crazy.
Old brother, right?
Yeah. Oh, brother, we got another scanner for DMACC. But that's good. I like that. I like that making the teachers do like an inventory. I might have to implement that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, and they really don't complain about it because they know it's coming, but it keeps accountability. It keeps that person from bringing a device home and never bringing it back up because eventually it has to be accounted for that year. And so like in our ag department, they have their own Chromebook cart. Well, they're in charge of inventorying that Chromebook cart as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing that my department actually inventories is like the administration offices and any of our equipment that we put inventory tags on. But a couple years ago, I quit putting inventory tags on network switches. They're not going to go anywhere. They're screwed into a rack. So, I mean, I don't really need to make sure they didn't run off.
Yeah, my problem is I put inventory tags on Chromebooks and the kids rip them all off.
Well, you need to get what's called highly destructible labels. And I can't get these things off even if I want to.
Well, I need to do that because I'm actually almost out of the inventory tags that we've had since like the beginning of time, it seems like.
Well, I can't print these labels. I do have to order them printed with the numbers that I want on them. But man, they don't go anywhere. You can't get them off.
Yeah, that's what I need to look in. But we don't really make the teachers do the inventory stuff. We usually get a couple of high school kids that work with us during the summer, and we usually make them go around and do all the inventory stuff. So they just kind of go around with a Chromebook, and then they make a spreadsheet, and then that's sort of how we do it. We started doing things now, like when things get bought, we'll put them in Eduphoria as far as like laptops for administrators and things like that. But as far as like lab machines and AR machines, we're just basically keeping that in a Google spreadsheet. And so that just makes it a little bit easier.
Well, that's the reason I want an API, because I actually have every single device in Eduphoria, including like the original purchase order number, the purchase amount, warranty dates, every piece of information's in there. So our inventory sheets are actually a report that I run out of Eduphoria.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's good.
I mean, it has a lot of good tools in there. It's just so darn clicky to use because there's no API.
I would just like it to I would like something that I can go around, you know, with my phone and maybe some kind of Bluetooth barcode scanner and just like scan things in.
Now, I don't have barcodes on mine, but
you just have the numbers.
Yeah, the barcode's a lot more expensive, and you know how cheap I am.
Yeah, I think that's all we have too. It's just no. We might actually have barcodes on ours. I think ours do have barcodes.
Well, that's cool.
But we're not doing it this year, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But normally, I have a blue tote. The color doesn't really matter. It's just I just like it. It was a blue tote, and I have these giant blue Ziploc bags. In these totes, and I have one for every room for every campus, for all three campuses. And so usually, probably the last week of school, I will walk around and I will distribute these bags to every single classroom. And the teachers have a checklist. We throw a checklist in there of everything that they need to do before they leave. Put the remote for the projector, the smart, any kind of smart board pins, take the batteries and out of the mice and keyboards, because for some reason we bought wireless and so it's just dreadful. And they take the dongle out of the computer, put it in the mouse, take the batteries out, throw everything in that Ziploc bag and set it on top of the desk. And then we will usually have us and probably those teenage workers, we will go around and we will unhook all the machines so that the custodians can move things around and not have to worry about ripping things out of the wall. But depending on the custodian, there's some of those that are really good about unhooking our stuff. And so if we get behind or if they need to get ahead of us, they usually do that. And we haven't had any problems with anything getting messed up from anything that they've done. So that's always good. And then after that, the custodians clean, things go back to where they were. We will go around and we hook everything back up. and then that's when we send the students around to verify inventory stuff in the classrooms. And which I don't know if that's actually going to happen this year because everything's been moved around and I've got computers for certain rooms in the middle of a library, and and so things are just way out of place. And so that's kind of this year, we're just like, you know what, we're not even doing our blue bag method, because there's the only thing that it would just be for the junior high, because everything else at the high school we're pulling out. So I mean, there's really no need for them to do anything with the blue bags, because we're going to go pull it all out.
Yeah, you definitely have a unique situation that you're going to have to do this year.
But next year, though, once everything gets back to normal, it'll be better. We can get back to the things we're doing. And I really like your idea of self-inventory. So that'll be really good. Once everything gets back to go normal, we probably have to redo inventory, which, you know, is always fun. Redo it all, and then at that point we can start doing the self-check thing.
Yeah, I do a lot of things like that, not necessarily because I'm lazy and don't want to do it, but it gives a sense of ownership to the equipment. So, I mean, they're more likely to keep track of it and take care of it, because they know if they get new equipment or they have to get replacement equipment, it's going to be harder to do inventory, because they're going to have discrepancies. And if they have new equipment that wasn't on the original sheet in there, well, they got to write it all in.
Yeah, and then also it's kind of like, to making them have personal responsibility, like you said, to make sure things don't... I mean, teachers can bring laptops and stuff home. That's not a problem, but they just need to bring it back.
Oh, yeah, and I have no problem with them bringing it home. I don't care if they keep it with them all summer. But we do a similar thing as far as unhooking the computers, but, man, I love our custodial staff. I don't actually unhook them. They unhook everything, and they roll it out in the halls and whatnot and do all the waxing and whatnot. And when they're done waxing in a classroom, we'll come back and hook it back up and do like a quick clean of it, like open the side panel, take a vacuum or canned air and whatnot, and blow them out, just clean them out and those kind of things.
Yeah.
That way we can get a little basic maintenance on it while we're hooking it back up.
Yeah, I think we do some of that, but we kind of do it like in every other year kind of thing. This year, I think we're going to do projectors. We're going to go around with air compressor, like a portable one, and blow out the vents and stuff in the projectors, because we have some that are starting to be on their last leg, and we just need to kind of make them last as long as possible.
Oh, man, so, do you happen to have any of those smart UF55s left?
I have one. I had two, but that's getting replaced with an interactive display this summer. So
I do have a question for that one that you have. Does your side panel glow red inside?
Isn't that because it doesn't have a fan or something?
Yes, it gets that hot that the metal actually gets red.
That's funny. I know that I don't like it, because I've actually had a student like stand up and hit his head on it because it's so low.
Been there.
And he jacked it up bad. I feel bad for the kid. I mean, it's like, firstly, it's like I go in there and it's like, dude, are you okay?
Well, first off, he's lucky his hair didn't catch fire. I mean, those things are hot.
Yeah, and it's like, and it actually messed up the other day, and I had to go, I just randomly went and pushed some buttons and it came back on.
Oh, goodness.
That's one thing I'm glad Smart quit making was projectors.
Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, I wish they quit making everything, but that's another topic. So, so what projects you got lined out this summer?
Well, obviously, we're having a construction project.
A construction party. Let's go ahead and make it fun.
A reconstruction party. How about that? This is like our reconstruction era, I guess is what you would say. We've had a bunch of contractors come in through our buildings so we can get like bids in and we can start getting some work done. They're still projected to be done before school starts, so I don't see it, but I'm sure it'll happen because I just know how much has to be done. So we're going to have that to deal with. So we got to empty out the buildings that are going to have work done, which by empty out, we're probably going to bring our stuff to a room that's not having the floor ripped up, because we have some, I can't ever remember the word of the kind of floor it is, but it's almost like the concrete. To me, it always sounds like Jurassic. Terrazzo.
It's Terrazzo.
Yeah.
Terrazzo.
I don't know why.
That's actually, they're ripping up Terrazzo?
No, they're not. That's the thing.
I was about to say, Terrazzo is kind of like a 1,000-year floor.
Yeah, and so they're not ripping that up, and so that's basically our cafeteria and the hallways in one of our buildings. And yeah, so we're
probably super durable.
So we're probably just going to haul everything into the cafeteria and cover it up with tarps or whatever, because I think they're changing out the ceiling tiles in the cafeteria. So we don't want the asbestos to fall down on our stuff. I'm just kidding.
A little.
And then, yeah. And then we'll probably, for the elementary, we're probably, hopefully we'll be able to put everything in some of those portable buildings instead of having to haul it all to the junior high. But other than that, I mean, everything still has to stay rolling as far as our normal work. I mean, we still have to do our rotation plan where we do our three labs, and then those three labs get moved down to the next labs that need to be replaced, and then those labs either get trashed or get moved down to something else. And one of the labs that is getting replaced this year, it is a pile of hot garbage, and I am so glad that it's going away. I mean, I made the mistake of putting Windows 10 on 5400 RPM drives. And so it was miserable. But luckily it ended up being elementary kids, and so they literally just did one thing on them. And so it worked out okay for me. But if it would have been junior high kids, I would have had much more headaches with it this year than I really would want. So
I never have figured that one out. I mean, Windows 10 is so much more lightweight and nimble on the CPU and memory. How in the world is it thrashing the disk as hard as it does?
I don't know, but it's almost to the point. It's like, I don't want to use Windows 10 unless it's on an SSD. I mean, cause even 7,200 drives can, 7,200 drives can actually, to me, seem kind of bogged down with it.
Oh, yeah, I'm on one of those right now.
But that's why our hangout session is always glitching out. It's because your hard drive speed. No, I'm kidding.
No, that might be the 8-year-old trash can computer that I'm on here at home.
Yeah, but the Mac Pro? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that would be a pretty phenomenal upgrade. Although it does have some Apple technology on it, it does have Beats Audio.
Ooh, fancy. Back it must when be it, an HP.
It is, and it does have Dr. Dre's logo on it.
Oh, fancy that. But yeah, that lab is way too old, so it's going away. So we'll do the recycle people for that, and that's always fun, boxing everything up that's got to go, which usually we just throw it in a big pile and just
well, I have a question.
Haul it off.
Do you pay your recycler, or do they pay you?
We contact them, and they send us some pallets and some big boxes. And then we fill them up, and when we say we're ready to send them, they send a FedEx truck out to come pick it up.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Is it Bass?
No, it's somebody else. I'll have to get the name and get it.
Yeah, I'd love
to
get it.
Actually, you know the guy, because the last time he was out there, he said he talked to you, but he doesn't work for the company that he worked for last year. He works for another company.
Oh my, that's scary that I know.
He's kind
guy.
Of like a real tall guy. Well, I don't know if you ever met him, because I know how you feel about vendors coming knocking on your door.
About like I feel like people coming to my door at home. Don't.
So he's a real tall guy, real nice, real chatty. So no, definitely know how you feel about chatty people. But but yeah, so I'll try to get you his contact info if you want. But no, it's not Bass, and I don't know. I think they cut us a check for a little bit at the end of it, I think, because you know all they're doing is just scrapping that stuff for the sheet metal or whatever.
Oh yeah, and well, I got really lucky this year on our recycling. For the past few years, I haven't called anyone, so I got like 3 years of stuff, and I put it in a portable building, and they sold the portable building. The guy wanted the stuff.
There you go.
Like, included in the price, dude. Take it. Do you need anything else?
Yeah, he just wanted to scrap it, get some pennies for it.
And that's okay, because it all is scrap, because I run on some pretty, we'll say, special hardware before I throw it out.
Yeah, but it's okay. We'll just melt it down and build knives out of it, right?
That'll work. That's awesome. I need to do that. That'll be a fun YouTube video.
Build you a forge?
I did, but I didn't have the plaster and sand mixture right, and I melted my can that the forge was built out of.
Guess your forge got a little bit too hot. So what about you? What you got on tap for this summer,
well,
besides,
I mean,
putting phones in classrooms?
Now I'm doing, of course, phones in classrooms. That's a fun project, and I'm sorry, Chad, if you're listening. Yeah, I'm probably not going to buy that 9100. So I'm doing the phones in the classrooms. Of course, I'm getting the next round of one-to-one finished. I got 150 machines to put out as far as switching out other equipment, fiber repair, and then I'm going to set up some replication clusters so I can replicate servers to, and also some a couple backup servers. So I might actually have some, if you want to shoot like your backup, a copy of it over to me, I might have some space for you now.
Well, I'm hoping come September I'll actually have a box that I'll be able to put at your location.
Very cool.
So I have summer projects, and then I have when the budget rolls over projects.
Yeah, I have those. I have right now my list is summer projects, and it's I have to do this before the beginning of the year projects. And then, oh my, school's starting, one-to-one projects, and yeah, I'll get to that.
It's like... But it's like we always have a whole bunch of stuff that that happens right as the budget year rolls over, as far as like licensings and renewals for things. Gets renewed. The antivirus.
I actually have on my whiteboard an IOU to a company I'm not going to say because I'm using it, and I will license it. But I'm just using it right now. It's okay. I will pay you for it.
It happens.
But it's really cheap, so you'll be okay with it.
But a lot of companies, they're real generous with their net terms when it comes to education.
Yeah, they are. Because we'll jump ship pretty quick.
You need net 3 months? Sure, you can have net 3 months.
Oh, man.
Well, because it's just like today, I had a vendor. I have something coming up for renewal, and a vendor called me, emailed me yesterday. And I said, yes, I do need to renew this. And yes, I want to look at a certain version of this application. And so he called me today and he's like, look, it's the end of the quarter. And so it's time to make some sales. And so that's what salespeople do. And so they're like, well, we'll work with you. It's like, dude, you can't get a penny from me until after September.
He's like, that's fine. Oh,
that's fine.
That's funny.
That's fine.
Yeah. There's a company that calls me every August to renew maintenance, and I begrudgingly do it every August. I just don't want to. But if you ever don't, you can't ever do it again.
I understand. There's plenty of that going around. In fact, I think I wasn't going to renew the maintenance on my VMware this year because I know that the hardware was getting a little long in the tooth that it's running on, and there's no guarantees that it would be able to handle the new version. And so what's really the point in paying for the subscription to get updates whenever there's no guarantees that it was actually going to run on it? And I wouldn't really even see a benefit of upgrading what I have to the new stuff. Because the hardware just couldn't give me those new features. But with the possibility of getting new servers, it's like, maybe I need to go ahead and renew it one more year so that I can get the newest stuff when the servers come in.
So it's like on VMware, is the support calls and whatnot tied to the maintenance?
Yes.
See, and that's what irritates me about this other company. It's an HP company now, so I can dog it. But
hey, I know which one you're talking about.
I know. I've never called them. Never called them.
Yeah.
And I keep, and it's like $8,000 a year. I just don't know how much it's worth.
And that's the same thing with the VMware. It's like I was just, now it's not $8,000 a year for my VMware, but. And it's not really that bad when you think about it. I think it's only like $1,200 a year. Not
I don't really think mine's $8,000. I might be exaggerating just a little, but it feels like $8,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably at least three or four, probably yeah. That.
I think it's about four.
But yeah, I think I've did one support call with VMware in the time that I've had it, and I ended up figuring the problem out on my own. They didn't even help me. So, but that's usually what happens. It's like I'll reach out to support and then I'll figure it out while I'm waiting for them to call me back.
Oh, so I do have some questions.
Yeah.
Are you going to upgrade to server 2019?
Probably not. I just did 2016, and so I'll probably stick with that for a little while. Just because I, and to be honest, I just really don't have the time to to do it right now, and so I just, and with it being so new, I'll probably wait a while before.
Well,
before
it is so new; it's not out yet, but it's coming soon.
Yeah,
I think they might actually beat the year for finally for once.
That because like 2016 actually came out what in 2017?
Yeah, something like that. When it's 2000, it was like 2002 or something.
But yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make that switch just yet. I may wait for like the. I guess the R2, what would be considered like R2 on it.
Yeah, I've been very happy with 2016. Very, very happy. And who knows? It may all, we may not have any of it by then.
I know, we might just all be Chrome OS by then, right?
Yeah, we all be running Samba right now, right, for local authentication.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's another one of my projects. I'm rolling out the file stream this summer.
Yes, I am also.
To everybody, and everybody's going to be told. They're going to be trained how to do it this summer during our tech trainings. And then they're basically going to be told they have 1 year. Get your stuff off your home directory and get it copied over to FileStream. Because next year you will not have your home directory. I'm not going to delete them, obviously, but not for probably another year or two afterwards. But it's like there's just no point anymore about having to host that stuff myself anymore, and have to worry about backing it up and things like that.
Not when you get the vault. Ooh.
Yeah, when you got vault and you have unlimited storage, which shows up as like what 10 terabytes or something. 10.1
It does show
terabytes.
10 terabytes. I have not found a way to put 11 on there yet, but. I'm working on it.
11 terabytes.
I just want to see where it'll actually cut me off.
I don't know that it would, dude. I really don't.
Ooh, so I could have like 11 terabytes out of 10 terabytes used. How cool would that be?
Go for it. Do you even have 11 terabytes worth of data to put up there?
Well, it says it has to be legit.
Just make a bunch of text files.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Copy paste.
We'll do like the Linux thing. We'll do like we'll redirect the output of at random to that drive.
Well, can't you just like make like a 1 gigabyte file, like an ISO file, and just like script some kind of way to copy it and just let it run in the background and just sit there and let it copy itself? Copy.
You're right.
Copy. Maybe like a Google script so that you could do it like on Google itself.
Not even worry about my infrastructure.
And you don't have to worry about your bandwidth.
You're right. You know, that'd be a fun. That's going to be a fun. I'm going to add that to my summer projects.
See if you can break Google Drive.
Yeah, see if I can ruin the experience for us all.
Hey, we almost did for a while there. So
they caught on to some of that, and they did stop a lot of my pushing up of backups.
But you'll find a way around it. So I'm sure you got a way to do it. You figured something out.
Just got to be quiet about it now.
Yeah. Yeah, don't write a blog post about it next time.
Yeah, no kidding. I think that's when it started having problems after I post that.
Which, you know, literally, I had your blog post like saved, and I used it for instructions on how to do it. So.
I think you were the only person that bookmarked it then.
I did. It's like, it just recently I went through my my Instapaper or Pocket account or whatever it was at, and I was like, well, I guess I don't need that anymore. Delete.
That's good stuff.
Because it offloads it onto Instapaper or whatever. So I had a copy of it, even though I don't know if you still got it up there or not. But yeah, I was like, well, I guess I don't need that anymore.
Now, I don't have it on a blog, but I actually wrote the original in a Google Doc, so I do have, as part of my documentation, so I do have that.
Yeah, that was interesting how you made all that work.
I think there might be an official way now, though, so.
But yeah, but we'll have to do, we're going to have to come up with something we got to figure out the year backup between you and me. I need to host something here. I got a little bit of rack room for you up at the top. I'll put you up at the top so in case we get another tropical storm, and so you can have the top space of the rack, and then possibly get new servers. We're looking at something with our phones this year or two, and just the normal stuff that we got to do. Got to do some labs and got to rebuild some schools. So I mean, hey,
you want to know something really funny? I was actually talking to the vendor about your phone project.
Oh, really? one of the vendors. We're talking to a few to decide what we want to do.
I was about to say, which one I was talking to.
Yeah, we're just looking at costs and.
Well, I got a super low cost solution for you.
I'm sure you do,
and I absolutely love it.
Let me guess. Does it start with Fusion?
It does. Man, it has gotten so good though.
Well, when you switch to it completely, 100% at your school, let me know how it goes. And then, but don't forget though, once that happens, there's no more calling that company for help.
Actually, Fusion PBX offers paid support.
Oh, well, there you go. Problem solved.
And they offer training to where you can get your Fusion PBX certification.
Ooh, fancy.
I know, fancy. I could have a certification for a free project.
How would one even do that? I mean, really.
Huh. Oh, no.
I mean, if it's open source.
Well, I guess they got the Red Hat, RHCE, Red Hat Certified Engineers and all that.
But it's like, if it's open source and say you forked it and then made it your own, could you give yourself a certification without actually having to take a test?
You know what? Let's do it.
Education phones certified.
There you go. comes with free Fusion bells.
Hey, there you go. You can do your bell schedules.
Yep.
You might have to figure out how to solder in some wires to some other stuff, but you can make it work.
Actually, yeah. The next thing I'm doing with the Fusion, because I really do enjoy the project, it's fun. I'm trying to write a gateway. So instead of like SIP trunks or a PRI or whatnot coming into it like a traditional system, it can actually have a gateway that is a web RTC instance. So you could have a website be an entry point into the phone system.
Well, that'd be good.
I think it'd be cool. Fancy.
That'd be fancy. But yeah, I enjoy summertime. I enjoy the work during summer. It almost feels like I spend all year putting out fires and not really working on like projects and things like that all year long. And it's like summertime, it's like everybody's gone except for like admin staff for a while, and then they're gone eventually too. But now I think this year I think everybody's got to be gone because I don't think we have anywhere to put them. So it's like these people are gonna be gone. I can walk around with my headphones in, get my work done.
I was hoping you weren't going to say walk around in my underwear, but
no, no. But I will probably be in the dad shorts. So
there you go.
I will probably be wearing my dad shorts, like the first day. because it's going to be hot, I'll be in my tennis shoes and my dad shorts and call it a day.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, quite literally, we work all year for the summer because, I mean, that's the time the teachers enjoy it. That's the time we get to do those things that we enjoy and that we've wanted to do all summer. So it really is that time that we live for in IT. The rest of the time is just doing stuff we don't want to.
Yeah. Fixing Windows machines and yes. All this other stuff.
But and replacing like, keyboards.
Because I'm also, I forgot to say too, it's like I've got some new network gear coming in. I'm going to actually finish out another one of my big closets that I've been meaning to get to. And so I'll even have that to do. And so I'll actually get to try out my new Lightning to console cable.
Very nice.
I'm going to configure that switch from start to finish with my iPad.
So I think you should. I think you should do it over null modem.
No. No.
Once and only once.
It's like please accept all of the commands so that I can get it put in place before I have to upgrade the firmware. You know, because I do not want to try to do the X modem transfer over an iPad.
You know what would be hilarious, and not hilarious like haha, hilarious like oh my, is if it didn't support the line endings for you when you pasted your command in. All a notepad.
Yeah, that's... Oh, man. That's just... What are you talking about pacing in? You know we write our configs from scratch each and every time. Don't be telling lies about having text documents with base configurations written. I mean, what do you think we are?
Well, you know what, actually? You want to know something really funny that I found the other day? And it was actually on a portable hard drive of mine.
Oh, there
I found,
you go.
I found a folder titled Orangefield Network Project. And in that was configurations for all the switches that I did before you were there.
Yeah.
I found the project. And I found the network map. I found my spreadsheet where I did all the IP addresses and whatnot. I was like, huh, this is horribly outdated.
Well, I mean, a little bit. A lot of it maybe still be there. But but no, I have that same folder.
That's so funny.
I have your same folder. In fact, I have a folder. It's actually in my archive folder from all my Region 5 stuff that says, from Chris's laptop.
Oh, that's hilarious. So do you have some Abuna documentation that I might need?
I probably do. I mean, I can send you everything that I have from Abuna. A lot of it you wrote.
Oh, that's scary. Well, it's probably useless then. Let's be honest.
But maybe so, because it didn't help me fix your Hyper-V environment.
You know, sometimes I do things that work that might not be officially supported, like removing SIF's name validation so I can have load balance print servers by the same name.
That works.
It's not supported, but it does work.
It works. That way you can change print servers and not worry about breaking everything.
At will.
So.
Oh, well. Yeah, good time. I do. We live for the summer. The summer's awesome. Nobody's there. So. We get to work without interruption and listen to podcasts all day.
Yep.
Especially those nice add-ons that you get for those Patreon podcasts you're in.
Yeah, we might have to do some of those now, huh? Maybe we should just like record ourselves while we're... No, better not do that either.
What was that service? What was that whatever TV where the guy live streamed himself? Or...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, man. Justin TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do an educating tech TV.
Yeah, no.
I can see you slapping a GoPro on your forehead all day.
No, then they'll find out all my secrets. They'll find my my secret spots that I go hide in. What are you talking about?
Well, the service should cut out by then, though.
Yeah, that's true. Because, like, these are, like, the we're on our last 2 weeks of school, and it is, like, these are the worst 2 weeks all year long. Because it's, like, let's just be honest. Everybody's phoning it in at this point.
Yes.
And so it's like bandwidth is going to be consumed. Everybody's going to be on the YouTube. I'm going to probably get a lot of requests to unblock Netflix. So it's just, this is like, we're almost there. We're almost done. Just
we
two
are
more weeks.
Almost there.
And it's really only 9 days. It's not even a full week. It's not even full 2 weeks. We get Memorial Day off. So.
Yeah. Well, I've had no more than 2 students in my class every day this week.
Yeah, because they're all out for everything. We had a baccalaureate. Is that how you say that word?
Baccalaureate?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever the seniors go to church on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they had practice for that today. And so they were all the seniors were gone for like 2 hours today. And it's like, and then I think sometime next week we're doing our high school project YouTube video that they do every year. And so... that will definitely be a time that I hide in my office and do not come out.
Are y'all doing another lib dub?
Every year, dude. Every year. Apparently that's our thing now.
Oh, jeez.
And they do it wrong. <Here's the thing. laughs> And I tried to explain this to them. I was like, look, you're doing it wrong. And they're like, Matt, we don't care. We don't have time to do it right. You're supposed to learn the song backwards. And, like, you do...
Yeah.
And so, like, when you reverse the video, you match, or when you play the video, you add the song, or you reverse the video so it makes it look like, I don't know, whichever direction you do. You learn the song backwards so that you whatever you do to the video and you add the song in, it looks like they're singing the right thing. It's like the first time they did it, it's like, it's just weird because they're, like, walking backwards and, like, looking behind them as they're going to make sure they don't run into somebody. Well, if you would just learn the song backwards and walk forwards.
I got an easier solution. Just run into them.
Yeah. Here's an even better one. Just don't do a lip dub.
Hey, that's even better. We had this we had this discussion about a yearbook. I was trying to sell the idea of not having yearbooks. I did lose that one pretty quickly.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's... That's just some of them things that we're just going to lose. It's like, you know, let the kids have their fun, let them have their memories, and then they'll go to college and their life will change forever.
And they'll forget everything.
Yeah.
I forgot my senior year so much, I'm not even in the senior picture.
I think we talked about that before. Because it's hanging on, it was hanging on the wall at our school. and because you graduated from the school that I work at, and I found the year that you were supposed to graduate, and I was like, I can't see you in here. And you're like, because I wasn't there.
I wasn't.
And it's like, your sister even helped me try to help me find you, and it's like, she's like, he's not in there.
I'm not in there. I did finally remember why I wasn't in there, though.
That's probably a conversation for the after dark party at the, for the Patreons. Patrons.
Yes, if you want to find out why I was not in my graduation photo, subscribe to Patreon, and yes, you'll find out eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
It might not be as exciting, though, as you think, but...
Yeah, so we'll let the kids have their fun, and they do a good job, so it's the end of the year.
Yes, I'm so glad. We had knockerball this week. That was fun.
Oh, that seems... We had, I think the athletics did their picnic, and so they had, like, some big blow-up slides outside, and the eighth graders had to get rid of the eighth graders for a while for the testing. They had to get them out of the building. And so, because we have no space, so they couldn't even stay in the building. So one day they basically played kickball outside all day long.
That's awesome. Kids.
And then like the next day they went to the junior high cafeteria and had movie day. And so that was pretty neat.
That's because they couldn't move from kickball all day.
Yeah. But it's like, we needed those classrooms for testing. So it's like, okay, what are we going to do with the eighth graders? Oh, well, my car could have been washed. I mean,
yeah. Let me know when that happens. I'll drive my truck down there because it is horrendous.
Yeah, but that can be our show this week. We just kind of wanted to talk about just things we have coming up and how we handle the year end. For links and show notes, you can visit educatingtech.net/36. I believe we're on 36. My notes say 34. I haven't edited yet. Yes, so yeah, 36. You can send any feedback to Educating Tech on Twitter or send us an email to educatingtech@gmail.com. You can find Chris on Twitter at Feeks, and I am at Twist of Matt. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/educatingtech. And if you like what we're doing, sign up, be a patron, and we'll start doing some once we start getting people sign up. But we need to come up with something, too, that we can put in there to get people to sign up, or so that when people do sign up, there's something there for them. So we'll work on that. We'll get something done.
And, hey, I think that would be a great opportunity for someone to contact us and let us know what would be something worth for you to subscribe to Patreon. Let us know what can help you.
I'll put in my scripts that I use to create Active Directory accounts. How about that?
There you go.
You can have that. So it works well for me, so. But that's it for this week, and we'll see you next week. See you later, Chris.
See you later, Matt.